Amen. Good morning. It's great to be here. As Tom mentioned, the last 8 days, I think I've been in four or five cities just to come and say thanks, because we wouldn't be able to do anything we're doing overseas if it wasn't for your hearts and your prayers and your support. And of course, North River is a special place. I was on a speaking rotation, but I think I fell out of it. But I'm thankful they threw me back in this morning. It's always so great to be in North River. The Browns, and so many of you are our heroes. My wife says hello and kids. And actually, let's go to the next slide. I'm just going to say next slide. That's my clicker. This is my family. Sean, that's me. My daughter, my son, that's my wife. She was the 104th baptism of the Moscow Church of Christ. And that's my doggy. That's the only pure Ukrainian in my family. And then Sasha, that's my son's fiance. They're getting married in November. And that's my daughter's husband, Mark. He was from Kiev. So we have a Russian, Ukrainian, and American family, which is very interesting these days. But our real family is God's family, so we actually don't pay any attention to those other things and just focus in on Christ. But very thankful I get to be here. Just to introduce myself a little bit. Next slide. This is the Kiev mission team that Tom mentioned. I got invited in 1992 to join the Kiev mission team. Got to serve in the church there for 2.5 years, and the church grew from 150 to 1,600 in that 2.5 years. And we got in trouble with the KGB and with the mafia and basically got kicked out of the country. Landed in Moscow, where I was able to join Hope Worldwide and become the Hope leader for the former Soviet Union, which was an incredible blessing. We worked with orphans and elderly. Next slide. Michael Jackson came to our first orphan event, which was amazing. But so love Hope and so thankful Hope's here. It's so great to see Dave. Next slide. Then went back to the Ukraine and led the church. This is my favorite picture of the Kiev church. And it's an amazing family. Of course, be praying for them. The Kiev church right now is about 700 members because of the war. So many people are scattered all over the country. But very proud of them. They've seen more people become Christians the last 12 months than before the war, the year before the war. So God is using them. They're shining. They're serving. They're loving people. But please pray for them. Next slide. This is Eastern Europe. It's an amazing part of the world. You probably know most of these countries from Liam Neeson films where someone's trying to blow up the world. They're usually coming from some part of my world. But it's actually not true. We're good. You should come visit us. We would love to have you. There's actually 6 countries that need to be planted. You know, we had the dream to reach every nation in our fellowship. And there's, I think, 16 countries right now that do not have our fellowship at this hour. And 6 of them are in Eastern Europe. So that's kind of what, next slide, gave birth to Revive. And we have a dream to go, first of all, to help the churches that were planted and have gotten stuck. It's not just about going into these countries and baptizing a bunch of new young people. It's about helping every single Christian, whether they're 10 years, or not Christian, but the kids in the kingdom, all the way to the oldest Christian. We want to help them revive their walk with God. We want them to have an amazing relationship with God and be faithful to God. So when we go in, it's not just about baptizing a bunch of young people, but really helping the whole church to change. So next slide. Me and my wife embarked on this 4 years ago. We didn't know COVID was going to happen, but we literally gave away everything we owned except what would fit in 1.5 suitcases. Because we're going to spend the next 10 years moving country to country to country, prayerfully helping these smaller churches to get revived. You guys know this story, and I know it's been told 100 times here, so I'll just flip through here real quick. We were supposed to go to Budapest, next slide, but we ended up in Odessa during COVID. Not the greatest strategy, right, to take 20 foreigners who don't speak the language into a different country during COVID when everything's locked down and shut down. But it was amazing in Odessa. Next slide. Still, 12 people became Christians while we were in lockdown. We actually didn't even see the church a single time the 10 months we lived there till the very last Sunday. That's the first time the Revive team actually saw the church, which was amazing, though God worked. Then the next year, we were supposed to go to Zagreb, and next slide, we ended up in Kishinev, which wasn't even on the list. You know, every once in a while, you start to think, do I even know what I'm doing? Because we never seem to go where we say we're supposed to go. Next slide. But the hall, you know, it was still COVID, so this hotel was basically empty, and the Revive team lived there. But then God brought things into alignment, and it made sense once, next slide, February 24th hit, and bombs went off all over the Ukraine, and then all of a sudden it made sense why we were in Odessa for a year, And then why we were in Kishinev, just 3 hours away from Odessa, because by 6 or 7 a.m., our brothers and sisters from Odessa, where we were just living for a year, poured into Moldova, and we were able to house them and feed them. So we provided, thank God for Hope and Dave, we were able to provide 11,000 warm beds and 33,000 hot meals of people who literally left behind everything. So God is amazing. Next slide. Next slide. This is the Revive. We went from being a Revive team to a Revive / refugee care team. But God really worked. Next slide. This is what the Kishinev church looked like when we landed there. And then next slide, 10 months later, this is what the church looks like. So the church has been revived. It's been very encouraging. Next slide. This is the 4.0 team, Romania. We just finished. I moved out of Romania just July 2nd. And right now I live in Atlanta. Amen. Tomorrow I move to Boston. I have everything I own with me because eventually I will land back into Bulgaria and we will start the Revive team in Bulgaria. Next slide. These are all the Revive teams over the last 5 years, and many have come from here. Some of the Revive people are here. So thankful for your service. Also, thank you for your donations, because without you helping them to be able to come, they wouldn't be able to come. So I really believe this is a team project that we've been doing in Eastern Europe, and we're very grateful for your support. Next slide. These are all the baby Christians that have come out of the last couple years of Revive. Your brothers and sisters, it was 62 when I wrote this, but another girl just became a Christian, so 63. And 23 of the kids who've come on Revive are now serving in the full-time ministry in different places all over the world. So it's turned out to be a good training opportunity. A couple videos from the, next slide, we'll play a video. This is from Moldova. One day my father, he told me, son, don't let it slip away. He took me in his arms, I heard him say, when you get older, you'll find out. These teams are between 17 years old and 76 years old. And there's 11 different nationalities on this team. So live a life you will. Okay, next slide, and take a peek. Next slide. This is from 4.0, where we just finished in Romania.
Guys, welcome to Romania.
Still young. Maybe you always look back and think it was better than it was. Maybe these are the moments. Maybe I've been missing what it's about. Been scared of the future, thinking about the past while missing out on now. We've come so far, I guess I'm proud. And I ain't worried about the wrinkles around my smile. I got some scars. I've been around.
We do get married on Revive, by the way, in case you want to join us. Amen. I'm here now. Those good old. Amen. And the last little video. We are, well, watch this. Amen. So actually, just 2 days ago, applications have signed up. And if anybody feels like God's put it on your heart to come and spend 10 months on the foreign mission field with us and help these countries to turn around, we would love to have you. Amen. Amen. Let's jump into the Bible, shall we? Next slide. Next slide. Okay, let's talk about a revival. Amen. Next slide. We're going to pick an obscure passage that no one's ever read. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Amen? We're going to break this down, and I would love for us to have a revive all of us to have a revival. Amen? I don't know about you, but I feel like I need a revival several times, sometimes a week. But we always need a refreshment and a rebuilding of our faith and a strengthening of our convictions. Amen? Next slide. Let's go through this little piece by piece. Then Jesus came to them, and that's where revival starts. When Jesus comes to you, it's not about a program. It's not about coming to a church. It's not about something we go do. Revival is when Jesus comes to you. He's talking to you. He chooses you. Amen? Jesus came to you. He wants us to be with him. He has all authority. Not some, not most, all. And not just later on in heaven, but in heaven and on earth. Jesus has all authority. Jesus is the answer. If everything's going well for you today, praise God. Thank you for Jesus. If you're having struggles today, if you have life challenges, Jesus is the answer. Amen, church?
Amen.
Jesus is in control. Jesus, it's incredible to even try and wrap our brains around the idea of who Christ is. In the authority and the power and the way he works in our lives. I just want to encourage you, continue to study Jesus. Be amazed by Jesus, because that's who we follow and that's who we want to be like. Amen? I love that, you know, in Narnia, there's that wardrobe thing and you open up and it's like this whole world. And that's the way the Bible is for me. Like it looks like a book. But man, is it not just a book. You open that thing and start reading it, and your whole world can change. And even after 33 years, and I know some of you have a lot more years on it than me, I know how special the Bible continues to be for all of us. Amen? And I love that Jesus, sometimes you can think he's just a man, or he was a character, a religious. No, it's Jesus who's before all things, and all things were created through him. Everything's held together by him. Wow. This is who we follow, amen? Amen? So he comes to us and he says, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me." You know, I love the way God works in crazy, miraculous, powerful ways. Next slide. This is Stefan. Stefan started to study the Bible in October, and he was studying along, and he had a girlfriend named Antonia, and that's her next to him. And Stefan was very kind of anxious about bringing Antonia to church. He wasn't quite sure if she would want to or not. So for like 4 or 5 months, we're saying, "Hey, bring her to a picnic. Hey, bring her to some. We just want to meet her." It's like, no, I don't think she's really interested at all. But we were praying because this would really help Stefan to become a Christian if we could help him with his relationship with his girlfriend. So we kept praying and praying and praying. And like 5 months had passed. And we keep studying and it keeps kind of getting stuck a little bit. And then all of a sudden, we just kept praying. And then one day, Holiday was on the metro in a city of 3 million people with hundreds of metro lines and cars. Holiday's standing there and he's about to step out of the wagon. And when the door opens, Stefan and Antonio are standing right in front of him. And Holiday's like, "Hi, I've been wanting to meet you." And Eden was with him. So they didn't get off the train. They stepped back and decided to chat a little bit. And Eden started to talk with Antonio and said, "Hey, you know, we're studying the Bible with people and sharing. And would you be interested in that?" And she said, "I would love to study the Bible." "Well, what are you doing today?" "I got time. Let's study today." And Antonio starts to study the Bible every single day, and she actually became a Christian before Stefan. And it was actually very touching because Stefan was crying the entire baptism because he realized he was holding her back from an opportunity to be saved. And a day after she got baptized, Stefan got baptized. So they're both Christians now. They're awesome. They're campus kids. I'm very proud of them. Next slide. And I love the way God can sometimes change things because I think you've heard this story, but my daughter and husband were supposed to get married in the Ukraine, but because of the war, they moved to Moldova. They tried to get married in Moldova, but because she's American and he's Ukrainian, neither of the embassies would marry him. So they went to the Moldovan marriage thing, and they said, "Will you marry us?" And they're like, "Well, neither of you are Moldovan. We're not going to marry you guys." So they started to pray, and we consulted with somebody, and somebody said, "Well, according to the Constitution, they should marry you." And my daughter's like, "So what do you mean? Walk into the government thing and start reading them their constitution?" And they're like, "Yeah, give it a try." So they did it. They went in and they said, "No, we already told you we're not going to marry you." And they opened up their, "Well, according to your constitution." And Mark and Gunya were reading them the constitution of Moldova. And then they said, "Okay, I'll get back to you." And 2 weeks later, they called him back and said, "Okay, we'll marry you. You can get married." And they were the first non-Moldovans to ever be married in the history of Moldova. God has all authority. Amen. God is in control. God will take care of us. Next slide. This is the young man who invited me to church. It was a 45-second interaction that changed me from heading to Wall Street to heading to Moldova and Romania and Ukraine and Russia. My whole world is changed by a 45-second interaction. And I'll say that again 300 years from now when I get to sit or be somewhere in heaven. And it's all happening because somebody had a 45-second interaction with me. And I don't think it's random. I think Jesus set it up. And you're sitting here today because Jesus set something up. And we keep coming back here because Jesus wants us here. And we'll keep growing and changing because of Christ. Amen? Next slide. Therefore, go and make disciples. Let me just hang out here on therefore go. Sometimes we can be so afraid of making mistakes that we don't take steps of faith. Let's just put it out there. We're all going to make mistakes. None of us are always going to do it right, but we got to go. If Jesus has all authority and he chose you, let's go. Amen. Let's go. I've never been qualified to do anything I'm doing. I just go and do something. People think there's something heroic. I just wake up and pray and read my Bible and go out and talk to people. That's what I do. That's what you do. And then God uses those mustard seed steps to do something miraculous that changes eternity. Let's go. Amen, church. Look at this fellowship. Look at that. This is an unbelievable group of people. Let's just keep going. And I don't know what that means for you. But go do so. Wake up in the morning and say, what am I going to do for God today? How am I going to get closer to God? I want to be with Jesus today. And that little step of faith and see what doors God opens for you. Amen. Next slide. Proud of some of these people in this picture. That's Derek and Leanne Vett. They came over and spent a couple weeks in Eastern Europe. They loved it. And they decided to join us and stay in Eastern Europe. And they're leading the church in Bucharest right now. But they went home and sold their home in Dallas, packed stuff up, and moved to Eastern Europe to come and help the churches there. Also in this picture is Don and Mia Lee. Don was on the church planting to Hong Kong many years ago in the very beginning of our fellowship. He works for a very established financial advisor company. Mia is one of the translators and top executives for Nintendo. And the two of them came on their wedding anniversary, 3 days to Paris, then 3 days to Revive. It's a good option for your anniversary, amen. And after spending 3 days there, Don is like, "I have a dream again. I didn't know I could have another dream. As an empty nester, I didn't know I could still do something amazing for God." So he went home and he gave notice and he quit. And Mia's giving notice and they're moving to be in Eastern Europe next March to come join us on Revive. Therefore, go. Amen. I mean, God can open doors for you and we can serve God in crazy, crazy ways. Next slide. Therefore, go and make disciples. Amen. After he said, "I have all authority, therefore go and," there's a lot of things he could have put in there. Yeah. glorify me, worship me, study me. There's a lot of things he could have put in there, but the thing he put in there is go make disciples. And I believe the reason he did that is that when I just think about my life, I'm so thankful I get the opportunity to go to heaven. I'm so thankful my sins are forgiven. There's a lot of great things that have happened in my Christianity, but there's nothing like having your sins forgiven. If you're visiting here today, please study the Bible. Please get your sins, please enter God's kingdom. Please be a part of Christ's body. Amen, church? But it's all about us being with God for eternity. Jesus came so that we could spend eternity with him. Amen? Next slide. I'm so thankful this is not church. Hold on, let me check before I say that. Yeah, so far, so good. I'm so thankful this is not church. We are not a spectator group. Anybody could get up here and do an amazing story, tell stories that would inspire us to follow Christ. Amen? Next slide. We actually get to play the role. We actually get to be a, next slide. We actually get to be a part. Yeah, that's it. We're actually in the movie. You're actually the star, because of all the things we get to do in the kingdom, there's nothing as exciting as just sharing your faith with somebody, studying the Bible with them, and watching them get saved. That's the most amazing thing we get to do in God's kingdom. You know, look at I want to introduce, next slide. I want to introduce you to Andre. He actually got messed up in drugs and a lot of really bad things, so he actually got put under house arrest. And he was not doing well. But in house arrest, he started to clean up a little bit, but he loves to read, so he'd just read a bunch of books. And one day he pulled the Bible off the shelf, no interest in God, no Christianity, no nothing, completely don't believe in anything. So he sat down that morning and said, well, I'll read the Bible. And he read Genesis and Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy. In one sitting, he read all five of those books. And then he closed it, and he just started to cry. And he said, God, you are amazing. Send me somebody to teach me or guide me. Literally, the next day, he was walking to the grocery store, and three Revive kids walked up to him and stopped him and said, hey, we're out talking to people about faith and God. Is that interesting to you? And he's like, yeah. I'm actually looking for somebody to teach me the Bible. And they were like, that's our line. Well, but okay, yes, we would love to study the Bible with you. And they started studying the Bible right there. And he finished the Bible in the next 20 days. He read the entire Bible in 21 days. And then he finished the Bible before we even got through all the studies. And it was funny because at that point, he's like helping us out with the studies. He's like, yeah, baptism, I know I need to do that. Yeah, I'm not saved. What else do you got? Yeah, I mean, it was incredible. And he became a Christian. This is him on Mount Kilimanjaro with his dad. His dad's the second Romanian to ever summit Mount Everest. So they're a climbing family, but he's an incredible, faithful, fired up disciple. Amen. Next slide. This is a good picture for all of us. This is who we are. We climb up to the edge and we look for people who are hanging off the edge. There are people all over Atlanta today, literally hanging on the edge. And we are the people who walk up to that edge and say, can I give you a hand? Now, oddly enough, many people say no. But it's our job to just put it out there. Now, it's tempting when I'm here on the edge to just go back here and maybe I'll build something over here and maybe I'll go do something over here and I'll stay busy over here, but I don't like to go up to the, but as a church, we have to keep going to the edge and say, can I give you a hand? Amen, church. Amen. Next slide. And teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Amen. So teach to obey. I know that may not be the most inspiring concept ever, but what I found in my life after 30-some years in Christ, I still need to be taught to obey. I know what I should do, and I even want to do it, but often I don't. My sinful nature, my arrogance, my pride, my laziness, my lustfulness, sometimes I get in the way of myself with my sinful nature. So I've decided in my life that I'm always going to have two or three brothers who talk to me and help me. They help me do what I want to do. They help me be the best Christian I can be today. And they help me grow each week. Please have people in your life that continue to help you to grow. You can't do it alone. I don't have the character. Maybe you do. I don't have the character to do it alone. I need help. I need encouragement. Amen. Next slide. This is my daughter's small group when they landed there in September. Next slide. This is my daughter's small group now. And those are all baby Christians. And that happened because every week they sat together as a small group and said, how can we serve God better this week? And that's where it starts. Us just desiring to change something. You know, I love, we got the, me and my wife had the honor of planting the Harkov Church. And there was a small group there that also decided to kind of re-energize their love for the lost. So that small group decided, what are we going to do radical this week to draw closer to God? And they decided to go out into the forest in the morning at like 6 a.m. and pray and sing songs to God. That would really inspire them and get them excited again. So they did that. They got up at 6. They went out into the park, about walked 20 minutes from the road where there's nobody around. Because, you know, when brothers sing together, that's not always the most inspiring thing, at least in my world. That doesn't always go well. I guess if you're Chase or somebody else, that would sound beautiful. But this is not the case with me. So standing under the tree, and after about 20 minutes of singing and praying, a guy comes down from the tree above them. And he's carrying a rope. And he said, can't a man commit suicide in peace? He climbed up that tree at 5:45 in the morning and he was going to take his life. He tied the rope to the tree and he was waiting to hang himself when three people random at 6 a.m. stood underneath his tree. And they're singing songs of God and love and grace. And he's like, these people are never going to leave. And God is melting his heart by listening to the prayers and the singing. So he comes down out of the tree. The brothers are like, and they're like, what are you doing? And they started chatting and said, well, you should study the Bible. So he started to study the Bible, and 7 days later, he became a Christian. I'm telling you, when a small group of three or four people come together and say, let's do something for God, it doesn't even matter the strategy you use. God will throw you under a tree and somebody will come down and say, study the Bible with me. I mean, anything can happen when we just pray and go serve God. Amen? Amen. And to close here, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. You know, I love that this verse is kind of sandwiched with Jesus. It starts out that he comes to you. You didn't come to him, trust me. He came to you. And then he kind of gives us some tasks. Okay, let's go save the world. Let's give him a chance to go to heaven. And since that's tough, you're going to need some people around you that are going to help you hold to that. But let me close with this. I'm going to be with you always. It's really not about those things you're going to go do. It's about being with me and being like me. That's my dream for you. You know, thanks to the opportunity to get to work with Hope Worldwide, I spent many years in orphanages with lots of orphans. And there was a girl, Anya, very shy, very down, very kind of depressed, sad, 9-year-old little cute girl in the orphanage, discouraged, no hope, just living day by day. And a couple came through and they met a bunch of kids and they came and they said, I think we want to adopt Anya. They decided to adopt Anya. So they talked with the director and everything. Everything was good. So they went and talked to Anya and said, Anya, we would like to adopt you. We want to be your daddy and mommy. And we want to bring you home to our home in America. And this is a picture of our home. And this will be your brother and sister. And this will be your dog. And this is where you're going to live. And they showed him this new life. And she just starts crying and says, when do I get to go home? When do I get to be in your family? And they said, well, we'll go home to America. We have to do some things, and then we're going to come back and get you. And she's like, okay. Now, from that day forward, Anya was completely different in the orphanage. She's got a high step. She's smiling. She's joyful. she's so excited, and she has those pictures, and she's showing pictures of her new dad and her new mom and her new dog and all these things because she's going home soon. Well, when are you going home? Well, I don't know. They're going to come back. I don't know when he's coming back, but they're going to come back and get me. Nothing changed in her circumstances. Same orphanage food, same orphanage bed, same orphanage friends, same orphanage. Nothing changed in her physical surroundings, but her mind was completely transformed because she has a father and he's coming back to get her. She has a home that's not this home. And that is what we have. And we run around showing pictures of our dog in heaven and our father who's in heaven. But of course, we show the Bible. That's our picture of where we're going. That's our home. And even though we still live in this great big orphanage that we call the world, and it's tough and it's rough and it's brutal and it's hard and there's very little hope, but we don't live here. We don't live here. We're waiting for Dad to come back and get us. Because this world is not our home. Amen, church?
Amen.
Next slide, and we'll close here. Actually, we're gonna skip this illustration for my next rotation through. Next slide, and next slide. Let's have a revival. Amen, church?
Amen.
Let Jesus come to you today. Let Jesus draw close to you today. And then let's follow him. Let's trust him. Let's go. Just let's go do something for God. Let's help our neighbors, help our friends have a chance to go to heaven. Amen? And then get somebody in your life like that small group in Harkov. Get some people that will help you be your best every week. And amen, Jesus will be with us till the very end of the age. I love you, North River. Thank you for the chance to speak.